Huh?
Yeah.
Well, no. Sabbatical, somewhat. Okay, so even though Lawrence is not here, I did leave it kind of open-ended, and the question is about women in leadership. Can women preach or lead men or lead a local assembly? And we talked about last week about the purpose of the woman. The original purpose of the woman was for her to be a helpmeet, as in Genesis indicated, to be a helpmeet for the man. A helpmeet is a help suitable, a help fit. A co-laborer, a co-worker, not for the man to dominate the woman or for the woman to dominate the man. But we see in Genesis that the role had reversed. Instead of the woman letting the man be the head in Genesis, she did what?
She usurped his authority.
And that's usurp means to take something by force. Now you say, well, she didn't force that, right? She didn't force herself. But the actual word is, it was interesting, I was looking at this a while ago and I refreshed my memory about it, is authority. It's called autohenes. A-U-T-O-H-E-N-E-S, something to that sort.
That's the root of authority?
Right, something. It's something along that line. But, well, you know what that means. That's what? Self.
Self.
Oh. Sorry. Well, that's the root word of it. Auto is self. And this is, that word is for she's looking it up, so she might help me out with that, but my memory is not.
You're on the root of the Greek word, of the word in Greek, is that?
Oh, you know what it was? It's really strange. It was to kill by your own hand. That's what it was. It came out to kill by your own hand. And I thought that was kind of strange. Is to usurp authority means to kill by your own hand. And I thought, wow. So you begin to look at that, and it's what's that?
Nothing. She was whispering to me. It's all her fault.
I heard you say the word, and I didn't. But I think she'll have that in a minute there. But what she did was acted on her own, right? And matter of fact, let's look at that while I'm just, I didn't want to get too hung up on that, but I think it's actually in Timothy. Let's see, Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, 12. Well, we'll just read those verses. 1 Timothy 2, it's the other way, Frank. You got a long way to go.
Oh, I know. I'm looking for that.
It says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. And what it, the word actually is one who acts on his own. And so she did act on her own because she was being a secondary creation meant that Adam was the head. And that's what this verse is pointing out is Adam was first form. It's a question of order. God's order. You remember the verses we looked at in Corinthians where it says the head of God is the head of Christ is God. The head of man is Christ and the head of the woman is the man. Remember that verse in Corinthians? That's a God established order. That's similar. I was thinking even that's similar to when we were talking about when Ed was doing his teaching on baptism, where he talked about the unity of the Spirit. And he lists those seven things. He said, we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's not something that we are. It's not negotiable. That's his order. That's God's order. Just like the unity of the Spirit, that's God's prescribed unity for today. Just like that is God's prescribed order is for the man to be the head. So I'll ask you why. Why is the man the head?
Because God said so.
Because God said so, that's true. But why did God say that?
So he was created first.
Because he was created first, right. He was created first. And it is, and I think we mentioned it, it typifies his relationship. All right, hold your hand back in Timothy, but look at 1 Corinthians again.
Well, I found it. And it's the only place where it uses that this word authority is defined this way. And it says one who with his own hands kills another or himself.
Okay. I thought that I couldn't remember exactly.
It says a compound word of auto and an obsolete hentus, parentheses, a worker.
Worker. Okay. And that's what
and it's H E
is self. It's a self-worker. Self-worker is acting on your own. She acted on her own. And you know what? All the words we have, like auto is on your own, right? Automatic, like Ed said, automatic, autograph, automobile. Automobile is a thing that moves by itself. Autograph is you sign by yourself.
Or she's an entrepreneur.
Well, not entrepreneur.
Self worker.
Well, that's a bad endeavor for her.
Okay.
She couldn't be an entrepreneur in that case. But
first of all, she wasn't created to be autonomous.
Autonomous. That is having her ruling herself. That's all those things go together. So when God, that's why when he put them in the garden, he gave the instructions to who?
Adam.
To Adam. And if anything would have been, any decision would have been made, it should have been made by Adam. Right?
But he wasn't around at the time.
Or together with him being the deciding vote.
The deciding vote, right. Okay, 1 Corinthians. I see this is going to be a rough one, I see.
It was rough last week. I saw you walking on water.
1 Corinthians
11. Isn't that great, though? We don't have to. All we got to do is defer back to the book, whatever the book says.
Well, I don't want everybody shutting down on me. So, but chapter 11, verse 3. But I would have you know, that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn or shaven. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. Excuse me. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Now, it sounds like God is a little twist in there, huh? There's a lot of things going on here. But he lays the order down for us. Right? You got God, Christ, man, and then woman, right? Right? Mm-hmm. And he says that every man praying with his head covered dishonoreth his head. Now we're going to draw this line here. This is just... we know that this is a heavenly, we'll just put heaven here, heavenly location. Here we're on earth. Okay. And he says, every man praying with his head covered dishonors his head. Because the covering, this in this passage, the covering denoted that the person was under the authority of someone else. Here. Mm-hmm. Right? Just to divert a little bit. You ever hear, this is where Jehovah's Witnesses have a real big problem. They say, well, Christ couldn't be God because he always prays to his Father and he's always being like in subjection, right? He says, if he was God, he wouldn't be saying that my Father is greater than me. You ever heard that before?
Oh, yeah.
But he's given the order. Right?
And in the order, God is greater.
And in the order, right. To carry out the purpose. To carry out his overall purpose. Because we know from Philippians, Christ said this. He says, that being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be what? Why didn't he? What is robbery? Robbery.
Taking something that doesn't belong to you.
It's the same thing. He thought it not a position to usurp to be equal with God because what?
He was
God. But because of the order, he took upon himself the form of a
man.
Right. He's the one who followed the order. Followed the order. He didn't think it was a thing that he lost, did he? No. He didn't think it was a...
willingly divested himself.
Okay.
And he said, and if I lay it down, I can take it back up again.
So the woman, what Satan did, it came in, he says, whatever the game was, he told her, this is what you're missing. And she acted out of order, right? Mm-hmm. And the scripture said in Timothy that the man was not deceived. Adam was not deceived. But the woman was deceived. So the order is there. God, Christ, man, woman. Any man praying with his head covereth, covered dishonors his head. What he's saying, if you have a covering on you, not today. This was,
right.
If you have a covering on your head, you're telling this. You're making a statement that you are
authority.
Not the highest authority. That you are under authority.
Oh, that you are under authority.
Who would you be under authority here? If you're making a proclamation of being under authority, who would you be under authority? You'd be under her authority. Here, who else would you be under authority to? Let me rephrase this. If this side of, we're earthly, right? And he says, any man praying with his head covered is saying that he is under authority.
Today we say under her thumb
or henpecked. Any man, let's look at the verse so we can move on. Every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonoreth his head. We're talking about, this is, we're on earth, okay? Down here, how you know in this assembly, he says, if this man has his head covered, he's telling you that he's under authority. And he said, the scripture said that if he has his head covered, he's dishonoring his head. He's dishonoring his head. Because
I guess what it means then is he's under earthly authority.
That's why I put earth there.
Yeah, I see.
Okay. So, and he's saying, keeping this together here, he's talking about men and women. He's not saying I'm under authority, not just even another man.
Right.
He says your authority is Christ. So pull that head covering off. Isn't it funny that all Muslims wear a head covering? Did you ever notice that?
Yeah.
I don't think they ever read that verse.
They don't believe in Christ.
They don't believe, right. They don't believe in Christ. But anyway, and he says this. He says, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head.
She's telling
anybody who's looking, not just anybody who's looking here, but also here, that I'm not what?
Under his authority.
I'm not under his authority. I'm under my.
So it's rebellion, which is witchcraft.
That's what he's saying. That's why Paul is addressing the issue. He says, for if the woman be not covered, verse 6, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Right? For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. There you go. He's the image and glory of God. The man on this side of glory, he is, you know what an icon is?
Is that where you click?
Yeah, that's true. It's like a character of what?
A symbol of the.
Of who's in charge.
Of something else. It's a representation. So he said, this man, he's the icon, the image of God here. And he goes to tell us, he says, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, he's the character, the reflection of God here on earth. We are men. I say we are men. Me, I would say us. When you say that, and this is because we are the head, God has ordained us as heads. He has put men down here He says, you are the leader. You are the head. Okay?
What's interesting, though, is in the verse that precedes all of that, it says that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
I don't see it in that verse.
No, 1 Corinthians 1:27, before it gets into the whole thing about the man prophesying with his head covered, dishonored, all the verse. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's a little Freudian activity going on there.
I'm sorry, I was thinking I was reading it. Never mind.
So, but anyway, let's move forward. So he says, if she doesn't want to be under authority, then let her shave her head. And if it's a shame, right, well, maybe not today. We don't care today. Yeah, right, but back then, right. He says, and if she doesn't want to be under authority, then let her shave her head. If it's a shame for a woman to be shorn, then let her shave her head. So everyone would know. They can look and tell. What? They can look and tell that she was what? Out of order. Right. In rebellion. Okay. Verse 9. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. That's a strange statement, isn't it? He says, now, because this is all representative, right? He says the woman should have a cover over her head because she was created for what?
Man.
For man. And he says this reason she ought to have power over her head because of the angels.
The angels got to do with it.
What's the angels got to do with it? Do you know right now we're being watched?
By cameras or by God?
By angels.
The verse in 1 Peter?
No, the verse in Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 5.
Is that forward or backward there?
That's forward. And Ephesians is a 5? I'm sorry. 3.
The manifold wisdom of God.
That's it.
3:9, I think.
And like Frank said, what did the angels have to do with it? Right now.
Where are we going?
Ephesians 3.
Okay. Chapter 3.
Mm-hmm. Start at verse 8. Paul's writing. He says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. Who's the church?
Christ.
Who's we?
Members of his body.
Who are members of his body?
The believers.
Who makes up the believers?
Men and women.
Men and women. Okay. To the intent now that unto the principalities and powers in where?
Heavenly places.
In where?
Heavenly places.
In heavenly places. Might be known by us. That we might show the what? The manifold wisdom of God. So now when Paul's writing in Ephesians, he's pretty much assuming that we know a lot of things that he's already covered. He says in Corinthians, he says, if the princes of this world had known what would have happened with Christ, they would have never what?
Crucified.
He has taken the he's caught the devil in his own craftiness. Okay, what the devil did, it was, he says, I will be like the what? Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. So he wanted to usurp God's position. He wanted to take something that didn't belong to him. And not only did he attempt that, but he also influenced who?
The angels.
The angels. So the angels also have acted what? They have also went into rebellion. They have also stepped out of order. Right? Who do you think you are? Who do you think? He says the members of the body. Who do you think you are?
Members of Christ's body.
Angels.
Huh? You better believe you are.
Is that what this is all about?
No, well, this is part of the the argument. So if it won't make sense to you if you don't know what's going on. See, if you don't know what's going on, if you don't know what his aim was with us, then it won't matter to you whether you take a position of a man or not.
Showed off us to our eternal purpose.
What else is there? It's not about us.
Right.
It never was. That's our problem, is we always think that it has to do with us.
Right.
Where we say, what is God doing? You find out what God is doing and you get on board with that. But what we do is, I want to do this. And we were talking about it, what, like a man being called to preach. What does that mean?
The word of God.
I mean, what I'm saying, that's everybody says, I'm called to preach. But when you ask them, how do you know that you're called to preach? And if God called all these people to preach, why are we in such confusion? That's because somebody didn't get God's idea of what it really meant to be called to preach. So, and no doubt he didn't call a woman to preach. Why would God violate his own standard, his own rule, his own order? Wow. I tell you, when he did do it is when Israel was in rebellion, he told them this. He said, I will send women to rule over you and children will be your oppressors. So you go through the Old Testament and then you find out they have a woman judge, and all these children. When I say children, you have children reigning. Well, he was 8 years old when he began to reign. And it'll say something like this. And his mother's name was, what happened to the man? Are you familiar with that? Where you see where so-and-so reigned when he was 7 years old and his mother's name was. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you didn't have a, like Michael, you know, you didn't have a 7 year old sitting up there on the throne, did you? Did you? That's why the scripture said, and his mother's name was, who you think called the shots?
Mom.
His mother. Where are the men?
Probably shoot dice.
They are in rebellion.
Yeah.
They have left God.
They're not stepped up to the plate.
So God began to punish the nation. He was carrying out his punishment on the nation. He says, I'll tell you what, I'll let her do it. And the kids do it. People who don't, and I'm going to say this in a bad way, he deferred the judgment to the subordinates, not the leaders. How'd that sound?
He deferred the judgment.
He let the
sins of the father will be visited upon.
He let the patients run the asylum. How about that?
Okay.
But she was to have power over her head. And he says, because of the angels. They could look and observe and see
order.
Not just order.
Godly order.
God ordained order. They can see. You see how she's subject to him? And he's subject to me? Go and learn what that meaneth. And then they can see her. They can see, even those who never left, they can see God knows what he's doing. And those who did leave, they can see that we should have never left.
We should have listened.
Or we listened to the wrong person. Yes.
Yeah, it really hits me today. It's just like it's word for word that in the majority of American households,
right. The
children rule through the mother. And the husband has not, he's just trying to please. He's got nothing to say about it.
Invisible from dad.
Right.
He has, just like Adam, he has abdicated
right. His
position.
And you know, our culture, the shows on TV perpetuate that model
right. Continuously.
That's
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't know that it was there in the Bible the whole time. They're perpetuating.
But we're so far gone now till for you to say she's out of order, you're blaspheming.
Right.
Almost.
Yeah.
Not almost, you are. I remember T.D. Jakes, and I remember listening to him, and he preached a sermon, and he said, leave that woman alone. Because God has put her in that position. And I'm thinking, just like I'm thinking now, I said, if he did, it's to teach you a lesson. Us. But he's not doing that. We're just rampant. We're just in rebellion, period. The church is not subject to the law of God now. It's just not. So it says, power on her head because of the angels. So they look down and they say, well, I'm okay. Because they're not doing it either. Nobody's listening to you. Everybody's out of order. Isn't that what we do today? It says, well, Roy, you got pulled over for speeding. And then you say, well, why you stop me? Everybody else doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Is that an argument? Is that a good argument?
No.
Lowest
common denominator.
He says, like one guy told me, he says, why you pull me over? He said, because you're the guy I got. You're the last one. He's like, it doesn't matter. If he only got two people out of 20, they're all wrong.
Right.
Right? Okay, so is it okay for a woman to usurp authority? Paul says, who is Paul anyway?
The apostle of the Gentiles, our apostle.
Give me more. He's our apostle, but...
He's a chosen vessel by the ascending Christ.
You can't beat that. He's a chosen vessel by the ascended Christ. That's why he finishes up. He says this: let any man who think himself to be a prophet,
or spirit.
That would include one man,
or
a prophet, or
spiritual.
If you think you're speaking for God, or if you think you're godly.
Let
him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the what?
Words of the Lord.
The
commandments
of the Lord.
Right.
So, if we don't like it, what would a woman do? If she wanted to preach, if she wanted to lead men, if she wanted to lead an assembly, and she goes to this verse and she reads that Paul says, I suffered not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man, but to learn in silence and subjection. If she didn't like that, what would she do?
Go start her own assembly.
Right.
Study a little more, get to like.
She would do what, Roy?
I just say study a little more and learn to like.
You think she would do that?
She probably wouldn't.
Which is why we have so many different churches all saying and taking pieces out that suits their what they want to do.
Second Timothy, he says, he told Timothy, preach the word. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap unto themselves teachers having, like Karen said, if you don't like that, you go somewhere where they do like it. And they do teach it. And they'll find a way to twist the verses. Don't worry about that. But if you're sincere, like Roy said, you'll go home and you'll begin to look and say, you know what? I just can't get over that verse that says, I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over a man. And then he said, what does that mean? And then she'll start dancing. Well, let me show you. That was back in the time where Paul was, and Paul was a chauvinist. He was not a woman supporter, and so what they did was they kept the woman down in those days, and on and on and on. And you say, wait a minute now. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. I'll show you what this chauvinist said about women.
I can just imagine. What?
Chapter 5, verse 21.
Okay.
Now, even before you get to 21, he says that we should awake. In verse 14, wake thou that sleepest. Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You know what, we're the church is asleep. Us, the body, the church, the universal church, we're asleep. We're dead. We're inactive spiritually speaking.
Because we're not doing what we should be doing is out there talking about the Word of God.
Right. We should be talking about the Word of God. We should be teaching the Word of God rightly divided.
But not until we've spent time and learned what this book says.
Right. That's what I'm saying. We're asleep. We're asleep because we've left Paul. We've left our only voice from heaven. We start in Galatians next week. And you'll find out... If he was here today, he would have to defend his apostleship all over again. He'd have to say, I'm not lying. I lie not. Verse 5, he says, wake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. 17, wherefore we should redeem the time. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not unwise. You know, all through Paul's epistles, he gives us the doctrine, right? He gives us a doctrine to educate us. He said, I would not have you, brethren, to be what? Ignorant, to be unwise. I want you to know what God's doing. He says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the proof that you're wise. Here's the proof that you understand what the will of the Lord is. Because I'll look at the order and see how it's working. Hello? I look at the order. Here's the order. He says, okay, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, wives. Verse 22. Wives, the wise wife, the informed wife, the spirit-filled wife, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Did you see that? Submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Submit. You know what submit means? It means
put yourself under the
get up under the leadership. Follow the leader. Right. Follow the leader. Follow the leader. Right. Okay. For, to further explain it, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as, look, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head, okay, and he is the savior of the body, okay? Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in most things.
Everything.
Some things.
Everything.
Everything?
Everything.
In everything. Even the things that you don't like.
I got to read this to my wife when I get home.
Well, you make sure we... Make sure we read the rest of the verses too, right?
Well, I'm not just.
That's the problem. Look,
I'll pick out the ones I want.
The point is this: it's the order, it's the function. He's showing you a analogy here. He says, just like Christ is the savior of the body, we are to be not just the head, but the savior of the body. No man ever yet hated his own. Well, we didn't get that far yet. But he says, verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto the Lord, unto Christ, so let wives be to. Now, here's how subject is the church unto Christ?
Not very.
Not very. We're out of order. So, because we're out of order, all you got to do is you take the macro and look at the micro, and the micro is what? Out of order. We're a microcosm of what's really going on. Okay. 25. Husbands. All right, Frank, take this one home. Love your...
husbands tell your wives.
Frank, he's not listening to that.
For 45 years, I've loved that woman.
We need a second opinion on that, right? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and he did what?
Died.
Love is not like we think, is grabbing and feeling love. It's making her your object of attention. It's making sure that you put her first. What did Christ do for us?
He paid our price.
He died for our sin.
Okay, now even that, he brought us in, right? What did he do to equip us? What did he give to equip us to be productive, to be successful, to be effective?
He sealed us with
his word, spirit. He's given us everything.
Obedience.
bless us with
all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He's given us everything that we need to function properly. Now, my wife is here, and I can say this now. When I first got married, my idea of love was building shelves. Like, you know, she had clothes and shoes, and I would come home, and I was like, I can't wait to get home.
Build
my wife a shelf. And I'm building this in the basement. And in the meantime, the real love is what? It's gone. She's upstairs. I'm downstairs. I'm working hard. And she's up there
cooking stuff.
Well, after that, even after that's done, but she's waiting for me for fellowship. And I'm down there. And I get through and I go to bed. So she's, that's not for me. That's for you. So you can say, look what I did for my wife. She said, the thing that I want is for you to sit down for 20 minutes. Okay. Anyway.
I'm following. I'm tracking with you.
25. 26. He gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, back to the order again. He says, no man ever yet hated. He gives everything that he needs to function properly. Okay? No man ever yet hated. Well, if he did hate his own flesh, he was something going on wrong up there. But he says, nourish. Nourish is to provide what's necessary for growth. Sanctify, to set her apart. Cherish. That's the intimacy right there, the warmth. And when you get those characteristics together, who wouldn't want to be subject to a man like that?
Women are not happy with good men. They're only happy with bad men.
Well,
who speaks up?
I'm not a woman, so I can't. But he says this verse, just to cut down here, verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and see that the wife reverence her husband. He's going back to the order again. He says, this is a great mystery, how two people can function as what?
One.
As one.
But one head of the church, not Christ.
That's, even though you have two separate entities, he is so provisional, if I can say that. He gives everything that's needed, and she is so receptive or submissive, because she realizes that he has her best interests at heart. Why would I want to
rebel
against him?
And they both know they're answering to Jesus Christ.
And they both know that we're working for who?
Jesus Christ.
For him. to get the overall purpose accomplished. It has nothing to do with what you want. It has nothing to do with what he wants. It has everything to do with what he wants.
Right.
That's why he says.
And we know he wants our best.
He wants our best. That's why Paul can say this. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in subject. For Adam was first formed. Adam was first formed. He's the head. Then Eve, she's the helpmeet. It's not the other way around. So when you begin, when you see it acting out of order, when you see it out of order, somebody missed the sequence. Somebody missed the goal. Somebody missed the aim. Somebody missed the doctrine.
Right.
So when Adam and Eve raised their two sons, and one got very jealous of the other one, because there was no hate during that part of time, just jealousy came into play and killed the other one.
It was sin.
It was right.
It was just sin. Sin was in full place. Hate, jealousy, whatever.
And that goes to really what we're talking about too, is the Lord has always made us, given us free will. We always have free will. And even at that,
you couldn't have love without free will.
Even at that early stage, as foundational as the doctrine was, Cain could have brought the right sacrifice. That's doctrine. He says, this is what I want. Okay. I don't want to get too sidetracked. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Okay. By being a keeper of sheep, that's what he did. All he had to do is go get one, right? But here's a man who says, well, that's not what I do. So you're better than me. You are better than me. They're not thinking about God is asking for this. So he looks at his brother and says, well, he's favoring you.
But God was testing.
So he takes the thing that he wants and he says, this is what I do, God. What about my effort? And he puts it there and he said, that's not what I want. That's not my prescribed approach. That's not what I want. So today, man and woman, the woman says, why can't I preach? I know the word of God. I love the Lord. Do you?
If you love him, you'll keep my commandments.
So, and she says, well, I'm going to go to the pulpit. I'm going to preach anyway. And God's looking at this. He said, that's not what I want. That's not what I'm asking you to do. And the man, if he's sitting there, God's question to him is, why are you sitting there?
But God is a merciful God. He forgives many times.
Grace, if God was functioning a different way today, we would have no service.
Right. We'd all be fried.
We would have no service. One thing. Do you remember in the Old Testament where Moses, Miriam, Aaron, and the Kohaths, the priestly family, Moses was God's what? Chosen man. It was his. That's his leader. Miriam and Aaron says, right. How come we can't do it? They pretty much said, you're not the only one that can do this, Moses.
God left you in charge.
Well, that was Moses' brother and sister.
Right. And God did what? He gave her leprosy. And not only that, is he says, I'll tell you what, you gather around, all of you who question my authority, and you see, don't I do a new thing? See, don't I make a new thing in the earth? And he did. He opened the earth up and swallowed them up. And then he says, now.
Any more questions?
Same thing as Job.
But he's not.
Where are you, Job?
Right.
I put all this together.
Right. How would you question? How can you question my order?
Exactly.
Or shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, what doest thou? What are you doing? It's not our order. Now we might corrupt it. We might abuse our headship. That's not God's will either.
I mean, if you go all the way back to the garden, it says that he formed the earth. It says he made Adam. He said, now, here's what I made you for. Go do it. And we've just progressed from there, and we've forgotten.
We've digressed from there, right. So anyway, that's, I don't even know if that is any more helpful. But let's...
Angels, what's the purpose of the angels?
That was... Because they rebelled from the start. They usurped positions too. They left order that God had ordained also. And so they look down and they see us functioning in what the God's order was and what should be today.
Well, I think Frank's question, or what I was hearing in the question, is if God created Adam to, you know, take possession of this earth, what was the angel's original? I mean, we know that Satan was designed to be the leader of, to lead all of creation in the worship of God, right? So was the angels created strictly to worship? What was their created purpose?
That's what, and just the last thing is, and he does say that in Hebrews and in Psalms, that says that he makes his angels ministering spirits. Minister means to what?
Spread the word.
Help. Well, to help, to serve. So that's all we are. You don't like one of my teachers used to say, "Say who died and made you boss?" And one monkey don't stop the show. We're just on the program. We don't run the show.
We think we do.
We think we do. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. It's the...
Because we don't submit to our authority.
So, but anyway...
So there's an order there that must be kept in order to stay in order.
Which goes back to the ultimate understanding of authority, which is why Satan said, I will, because he was rebelling against authority.
He was a servant, not to be served. Anyway, let's stop. We're running way over time here. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the time spent here. We pray that through all the material covered, Lord, that the principle of your order might come through clearly to us, that the reason why you don't permit women to usurp authority over men is because it is out of order, out of your God-ordained order that you have laid out in Scripture. We thank you for once again for the time being here. We thank you for the word, and we pray again for the members of the body who need that attention. We pray for Lawrence, Sharon, pray for Roy, all those here, and all those who may have wanted to be here. And we just thank you again for the time that's been here. Pray that it was for your glory and honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.